الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنكم على بينة من ربكم ما لم تظهر فيكم سكرتان، سكرة الجهل وسكرة حب العيش، وأنتم تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتجاهدون في سبيل الله، فإذا ظهر فيكم حب الدنيا فلا تأمرون بالمعروف ولا تنهون عن المنكر ولا تجاهدون في سبيل الله، والقائلون يومئذ بالكتاب والسنة كالسابقين الأولين من المهاجرين والأنصار، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, it is only the favor, grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon each and every one of us that we have been given the tawfiq and the ability to gather for a little while in such blessed and honored gatherings in Allah Ta'ala's sight. It is reported by our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that at the end of such gatherings Allah Ta'ala deputes an angel to make a declaration that قُومُوا مَغْفُورًا لَكُمْ قَدْ بُدِّلَتْ سَيَّعَاتُكُمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. That stand up now in such a condition that Allah has forgiven all your sins. And not only has Allah forgiven you, but Allah has changed your evil deeds into good deeds. The mercy, kindness, shafqat, bounties and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us are so numerous that it is impossible to mention them. Allah Ta'ala Himself says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. That if you have to enumerate, if you have to count, if you have to reflect and ponder over the bounties of Allah over you, لَا تُحْصُوهَا, you will not be able to do this. Mufassirin explained that in this verse, Allah Ta'ala has brought the word ni'mat in the singular tense. Allah has not said ni'amillah or an'amillah. That if you have to ponder or count the many favors of Allah, Allah says ni'mat Allah, one favor. If you have to ponder and reflect over any one favor of Allah, one bounty of Allah, this la tuhsuha, you will not be able to comprehend the depths of even one favor of Allah upon you. Insan's wujud, insan's existence, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهَرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Allah says, did they not pass upon you a period of time that لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا, that no one made your dhikr, no one mentioned you, you didn't exist, you were nothing. إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ, we created you. مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ, from a mingling of sperms. Somewhere in the Quran Allah says, مِن مَاءٍ دَافِقٍ, from a spurt of liquid. Somewhere Allah says, مِن مَاءٍ مَهِينٍ, from a drop of worthless fluid. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِن سُلَالَةٍ مِن طِينٍ, ثم جعلناه نطفة في قرار مكين ثم خلقنا النطفة علقة فخلقنا العلقة مضغة فخلقنا المضغة عظاما فكسونا العظام لحما ثم أنشأناه خلقا آخر فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين. Verily we created this insan from an extract of clay. Then we made him into a drop of sperm in a safe receptacle. From a drop of sperm into a clot of blood. From a clot of blood into a lump of flesh. This lump of flesh was given bones. Stage upon stage of creation. And what at one time was nutfa, what at one time was something that Quran says, ma in maheen, a drop of worthless fluid. What at one time was completely insignificant. One cell from which this human being originates. The cell is so tiny that you need a microscope to see it. In three layers of darkness, in the womb of the mother, 9 months later the cell is brought forth as insan. 6 billion times bigger, 10 million times heavier. This child that is born in such circumstances of hifazat and protection, يَبْنَ آدَمْ جَعَلْتُ لَكَ قَرَارًا فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّكْ فَقَدَرْنَا فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ غَشَيْتُكَ فِي غِشَاءٍ لِأَلَّا تَضَّعْ مِنْ ظُلْمَةِ الرَّحِمْ حَوَّلْتُ وَجْهَكَ إِلَى ظَهْرِهَا لِأَلَّا تَضُرُّكَ رَائِحَةُ الطَّعَامِ جَعَلْتُ لَكَ مُتَّكًا عَنْ يَمِينِكَ وَمُتَّكًا عَنْ يَسَارِكَ أما الذي عن يمينك فالطحال أما الذي عن يسارك فالكبد علمتك الجلوس في بطن أمك فهل يقدر على ذلك أحد غيري. O insan, I gave you a place of rest and shelter in the womb of your mothers. Then the apportioning began. فنعم القادرون. Allah is the best of apportioners. You were covered in a cloth so that the darkness would not frighten you. Your face was turned to the back of your mother so that the bad odor of food from the stomach would not disturb you. You were given a pillow on your right side and a pillow on your left side. The pillow on the right side was the spleen, the pillow on the left side the liver. You had to stay for 9 months. It was not possible for you to stand for so long a period of time. So I taught you to sit on water. فَهَلْ يَقْدِرُ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ أَحَدٌ غَيْرِي. Does anyone else have this qudrat? Does anyone else have this power? فلما أن تمت مدة أشهرك أوحيت إلى الملك الموكل بالأرحام فأخرجك على ريشة من جناحه ثم السبيل يسره. The period had passed, 9 months had passed, this amanat and trust was now ready to be introduced into this world. The child is large, 10 million times bigger than what it was. The passage is small. I send wahi to the angel that was deputed to guard over the womb. It spread its wing out and the passage of this child into the world was made easy. The skull is hard. The bones of the skull need to be hard to protect the brain so that any impact on the head will cushion the shock of the impact, thus protecting the brain. If the skull had to be hard of the newborn child, then as it is being passing through the tight passage, the skull will crack. So the baby that is not yet born, the bones of the skull are in a liquid form. So that the child can pass through that passage. Once the child has passed through the passage, then the bones become hard. Which scientist, which doctor, which theologian was sitting inside and planning all this? فَأَخْرَجَكَ إِلَىٰ دَارِ الدُّنْيَا لَا لَكَ سِنٌ تَقْطَعْ وَلَا لَكَ يَدٌ تَبْطِشْ وَلَا لَكَ رِجْلٌ تَمْشِي. You were introduced into this world. Your teeth were not such that you could bite. Your hands were not such that you could grasp. Your feet were not such that you could walk. You were totally, completely helpless and dependent. Previously you were sustained with blood through the umbilical cord. Now the umbilical cord has been cut off. Your supply of sustenance has been cut off. But your Allah has not forsaken you. أَذَرْتُ لَكَ عِرْقَيْنِ يَرَقِيقَيْنِ يُنْبِعَانِ لَكَ لَبَنًا خَالِصًا فِي ثَدْي أُمِّكَ دَافِئًا فِي الشِّتَاءِ بَارِدًا فِي الصَّيْفِ فَهَلْ يَقْدِرُ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ أَحَدٌ غَيْرِي. I set forth two streams of pure milk in the breast of your mothers. Cool in summer, warm in winter, nothing more nutritious for the child than the milk from its mother. To this extent, this miracle stands till Qiyamah, that if the breast is cut open at the last point, you will not find milk, you will find a colorless liquid that on the suckling of the child becomes milk. This child needed to suckle. That was going to be the source of its sustenance, the manner by which it would feed from its mother. So in the ninth month, before the child could be born, this unborn fetus takes its thumb and puts it into its mouth and starts suckling on that thumb, practicing how it would feed when it would come into the world. There was no one there sitting to take the thumb and put it into the mouth. To this extent, nutritious, nothing more nutritious for the child than the milk from its mother, that they have studied. Sometimes a child is born premature, it stays 6 or 7 months. Sometimes the child stays the full length, the full 9 months in the womb of the mother. The needs of both children are not the same. The child born premature requires more nutrients. It is found that the milk from the breast of the mother that carried the child for 7 months has more nutrients than the milk from the breast of that mother who carried the child for full 9 months. Initially, the digestive system of the newborn baby is not fully developed. It cannot digest a thick substance. As the baby grows, the digestive system of the child develops and gets better and better. The newborn baby, the milk from his mother is thin. As the child grows, the milk from his mother thickens according to the development of the digestive system of the child. فَهَلْ يَقْدِرُ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ أَحَدٌ غَيْرِي. Is there anyone else that has this qudrat? Is there anyone else that has this power? وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Allah says, look within yourselves, you will see signs of my qudrat. You will see signs of my power. In everything, in every direction is an indication of the qudrat and the power and the favors and the bounties of Allah. What at one time was one cell, the cell, you need a microscope to see it, it is so tiny. Inside that cell is the DNA of that cell, which is 1 millionth the size of the cell. This insan is a composition of 100 trillion cells. 9 months later, from one cell, 100 trillion cells. It is said the DNA of all 100 trillion cells put together will fit inside one ice cube. This DNA is 1 million the size of the cell, yet it contains 3.5 billion characteristics, 3.5 billion nucleotides. All 100 trillion cells DNA will fit in one ice cube, yet if opened up, it will form a distance from the earth to the sun and back 400 times. 80 billion miles long is the DNA of each human being. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ. If you have to ponder one ni'mat, one bounty of Allah, لا تحصوها, you will not be able to comprehend it. You will never be able to appreciate the extent of the favors of Allah upon you, the bounties of Allah. It is said, Al-insanu abdul ihsan. Insan is the slave of the one who made ihsan upon him, the one who favored him, the one who showed kindness to him. Insan is the slave of that person, or that being, or that entity. This quality of feeling indebted, this quality of servitude to the one who showed kindness upon you, is not specific to human beings. This quality is found in animals also. That horse which is given hay to eat or fodder, it will carry its master on its back for its whole life. That dog, inferior intellect, that dog which is given a plate of food by its master, will serve its master for his whole life. It will take a bullet for that master. In Tokyo Station in Japan, there is a statue of a dog in the station. And the story behind that is there was a Japanese businessman. He would go to work by train every day. His train would come into the station at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when he was returning back from work. At 2:45, his dog would leave the house, would go to the station to meet its master, and would accompany him back home. One day while at work, this businessman suffered a heart attack and he passed away. At 2:45 that day, like clockwork, the dog leaves the house and goes to the station. The 3 o'clock train comes in, it waits, anticipating, where is my master? Obviously he is dead, so he was not there. The dog waited till sunset, then dejectedly, with his tail between its leg, it returned back home. The next day, at exactly 2:45, again it went to the station to wait for its master. And then the next day at sunset, it returned back home. For the next 9 years, every day like clockwork, this dog went to the station to wait for its master. They erected a statue of that dog to commemorate the spirit of servitude and bondsmanship and slavery that was found in an animal. Insan has a far superior intellect to an animal. This spirit of servitude and bondsmanship, of abdiyat, of being the slave of Allah, who is muhsin haqiqi, who is the source of every favor and every bounty, should be found to a far greater level in insan than in an animal. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Allah says, I did not create insan, I did not create jinnat, except so that they may be my slaves, except so that they may worship me, and worship, abdiyat, cannot take place correctly unless there is ma'rifat, unless one recognizes the greatness of the object that is being worshipped. That is why mufassirin say, "Ay liya'rifun," insan and jinnat were created to make the ma'rifat of Allah, to recognize who is Allah, the owner of everything. Lahu ma fis samawat wa ma fil ard wa ma baynahuma wa ma tahta thara. Ala inna lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Ala inna lillahi man fis samawati wa man fil ard. Everything in the heavens, everything in the earth, everything between the heavens and the earth, everything beneath this earth belongs to Allah. One Allah, the controller, sustainer, nourisher, maker, planner, breaker of everything that exists, this entire creation. لا يملكون لأنفسهم ضرا ولا نفعا ولا يملكون موتا ولا حياة ولا نشورا. Cannot benefit, cannot harm, cannot live, cannot die, cannot be resurrected except with the permission, qudrat, power, irada and will of one Allah. He is alone, رب المشرق والمغرب لا إله إلا هو. Rabb of the East, Rabb of the West, it is only Allah. رب المشرقين ورب المغربين رب المشارق ورب المغارب رب العرش العظيم. East, West, North, South, أينما تولوا, turn in any direction, فثم وجه الله, and you will find only Allah. الله لا إله إلا هو, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو, عالم الغيب والشهادة, هو الرحمن الرحيم, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو, الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق الباري المصور الغفار الوهاب الرزاق ذو القوة المتين أول آخر ظاهر باطن معز مذل سميع بصير نافع ضار حكم عدل لطيف بصير one one صفت of Allah benefit is Allah harm is Allah that total complete conviction to enter into the depth of the heart that this entire creation cannot see except with the power of Allah. The food I am eating, I cannot eat except with the decision of Allah. That food cannot enter my mouth except with the decision of Allah. My digestive system cannot absorb that food except with the decision of Allah. I cannot hear except with the decision of Allah. I cannot walk except with the decision of Allah. I cannot grasp except with the decision of Allah. Peace cannot be found except with the decision of Allah. War cannot take place except with the decision of Allah. There cannot be love and harmony except with the decision of Allah. Hatred and enmity cannot be found except with the decision of Allah. Person cannot become wealthy except with the decision of Allah. Poverty cannot be found except with the decision of Allah. Satisfaction cannot be found except with the decision of Allah. Hunger cannot be found except with the decision of Allah. Day cannot come except with the decision of Allah. Night cannot come except with the decision of Allah. The sun cannot rise except with the decision of Allah. The sun cannot set except with the decision of Allah. In the entire heaven and in the entire earth, nothing can move except with the decision of one Allah. He is alone. He is the controller. He is the sustainer. He is the nourisher. He is the benefiter. Everything besides him is batil. It is a deception. Allahu la ilaha illa hu al-hayy al-qayyum. It is only Allah. He is living. He is the controller of everything. Living. Hayyun qabla kulli hayy. Hayyun ba'da kulli hayy. Hayyun fawqa kulli hayy. Hayyun yumitu kulla hayy. حي لا يشبهه حي لم يزل ولا يزال living before every living, living after every living, living above every living, living he will give death to every living, living there is nothing living that is like Allah. He was from forever, he will be forever. وهو الذي في السماء إله وفي الأرض إله. He is the Ilah of the heaven and he is the Ilah of this earth. Complete total power over every atom of this universe. Complete total qudrat and power over every cell of my body. The flowing of the blood through my veins is controlled by Allah. The sight of my eyes is controlled by Allah. The hearing of my ears is controlled by Allah. Every breath of air that goes into my body is controlled by Allah. The total complete submission, understanding, conviction that it is only Allah. Maqsood is Allah. Matloob is Allah. The goal is Allah. The object is Allah. My living for Allah. My dying for Allah. My wealth for Allah. My life for Allah. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. To have this understanding that the object of my life is that my Allah must be pleased with me. That conviction to enter into the depths of the heart, that it is only Allah. If I want benefit, seek it from Allah. If I want respect, seek it from Allah. If I want advancement, seek it from Allah. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, throughout the ages were sent with this basic invitation, fa'alam annahu la ilaha illallah. Know and understand that it is only Allah. Abdi utlubni tajidni. إن وجدتني وجدت كل شيء وإن فتني فاتك كل شيء وأنا خير لك من كل شيء. O my slave, search for me. Allah says, O my slave, search for me. Look for me, you will find me. If you have found me, you have found everything. If the love of Allah has entered this heart, you have found everything. One favor, one bounty of Allah. يبنى آدم جعلت لك عينين وجعلت لهم الغطاء فانظر بعينيك ما أحللته لك فإن عرض لك ما حرمته عليك أطبق عليهم الغطاء. Allah says, O Ibn Adam, O my slave, I granted you two eyes, I gave you two eyes. Statistics of 1990 show 300,000 children are born every day, 600,000 eyes from the khazana of Allah, from the treasures of Allah. There's never been an announcement that there is a shortage of eyes. They said 1 millimeter of the eye can accept 30,000 separate points of light in 1 second. These eyes are taking 10 three-dimensional pictures every second, 800,000 pictures every day. Which camera can do that? 800,000 pictures every day. We don't have to renew the film, we don't have to renew we don't have to clean the retina or the lenses. Allah through His Qudrat, in each eye, Allah has placed 130 million light bulbs. What we call receptors for light, 130 million in each eye. These light bulbs, if you don't pay the electricity bill for 1 month, they'll come and cut it off. 130 million light bulbs in each eye. What is the bill from Allah? What does Allah want? Ibn Adam, O insan, I gave you two eyes and I placed veils over those two eyes. Look with those eyes at that which I made halal for you. That is all. That is the only requirement, the only bill from Allah. Look with those eyes at that which I made halal for you. فَإِنْ عَرَضَ لَكَ مَا حَرَّمْتُهُ عَلَيْكَ. And if that which I made haram comes in front of you, أَطْبِقْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْغِطَى, then lower the veil. Drop the gaze. Turn away. That is the only requirement Allah wants from us. جَعَلْتُ لَكَ أُذُنَيْنَ. Allah says, I gave you two ears. There are 100,000 telephones in each ear. Receptors for sound, 100,000 in each ear. And what is the bill? Listen with those ears at that which I made halal for you. And if that comes in front of you, which I made haram, then cover up those ears. Yet how many of us cover the ears? Sadiqul Masduq sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-ghina'u yumbitu al-nifaqa fil-qalb, kama yumbitu al-ma'u al-zar'a. That listening to music, causes nifaq, hypocrisy to grow in your heart, like how water will cause a plant to grow. When water is poured on the seed, how the sprout comes forth and it grows, in the same way listening to music will cause nifaq to grow in your heart. The bill from Allah, that when that which I made haram comes upon you, then turn away. It's so merciful, day in and day out, night in and night out, we will look at haram, we will listen to haram, yet Allah doesn't snatch away the eyesight, Allah doesn't snatch away the hearing, Allah does not cut off the light bulb, Allah does not cut off the telephone. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ سَمْعَكُمْ وَأَبْصَارَكُمْ وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ مَنْ إِلَٰهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِهِ. Tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reflect and ponder, think. If Allah took away your eyesight, and Allah took away your hearing, and Allah took away your mind and your heart, which ilah, which qudrat, which force on this earth is ever going to give you these bounties again? Which doctor is going to restore your eyesight? Which scientist is going to restore your hearing? If you want to know the value of sight, go and ask the blind man. If you want to know the value of hearing, go and ask the deaf person. Allah tolerates and tolerates and tolerates. For free Allah gave us everything. Flagrantly, openly we violate the orders of Allah, and Allah is still waiting. When is the slave of Allah going to come back to Allah? In ذَكَرْتَنِي ذَكَرْتُكْ وَإِن نَسِيتَنِي ذَكَرْتُكْ. O my slave, when you remember me, I remember you, and when you forget me, I still remember you. تُوَالِينِي وَالِيكْ تُسَافِينِي أُسَافِيكْ. When you keep friendship with me, I keep friendship with you. تُعْرِضُ عَنِّي وَأَنَا مُقْبِلٌ عَلَيْكَ. And when you turn away from me, I am still waiting for you. Allah Ta'ala, this is Dawood alayhi salam. Ya Dawood, بَشِّرِ الْمُذْنِبِينَ. O Dawood, give glad tidings. Give basharat to the sinners. He's surprised. Give glad tidings to the sinners. What glad tidings? Allah yata'azama alayya zambun an aghfirah. Tell them, O Dawood, that there is no sin that is so great that I will not forgive them. One sahabi comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he says, O Nabi of Allah, will Allah forgive my sin? Referring to the sins that he committed in the days of Jahiliyyat before Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, al-Islamu yahdimu ma kana qabla. Islam will wipe away the sins of the past. The Sahabi says that the sin which I committed is so great that I am concerned about whether my Allah will forgive me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him that what is that sin that you have done? He says, O Nabi of Allah, I buried 70 of my daughters alive. 70 daughters he had buried alive. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the purest of the pure. His heart was completely pure. Hearing this, he couldn't take it. And he lowered his head. The Sahabi, seeing this, he becomes convinced that now I am destroyed. My crime is too great. The wrong I did is too great. Immediately Jibreel is sent to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. The love and the shafqat and the kindness contained in this expression, Ya Ibadi, cannot possibly be expressed in the English language. Where the purest of the pure, Ahkamul Hakimeen, Allah, referring to this insan who from head to toe is filled with impurities, with this expression, Ya Ibadi, O my beloved slave. The love contained in this perhaps can be understood from an example. That when a woman has a child, it is her only child, yet such is the exuberance of emotion that is contained in her heart towards this child, that she picks up her only child, cuddles the child to her chest, and says that this is my child. No one doubted it. She knows it is her child. Everyone around her knows it is her child. Yet her love demands that she says that this is my child. the love contained in that expression multiplied 70 times will give us an idea of the love that is contained in Ya Ibadi. O my beloved slaves, whom is Allah referring to? Those whose whole lives were spent in His obedience, who never disobeyed Him? Those whose nights are spent in Ibadat? Those who had never perpetrated any wrong? No! This verse is revealed when someone says, I buried 70 daughters alive. Such an individual, Allah says, Ya Ibadi. If it was us, even if we were forgiving the person, we'll say, you zalim, I have forgiven you. Or you wrongdoer, why did you do that? Don't ever do it again, I have forgiven you. But Allah's mercy, Allah's love, Allah says, oh my beloved slave, referring to the sinner, الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, who have transgressed upon their souls, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, never ever lose hope in the mercy of your Allah. The courts of this world may have closed their doors upon you. Your own parents may have forsaken you. Society may have ostracized you. The whole world may have turned against you. But no one understands that the door of your Allah is still open for you. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never ever lose hope in the mercy of your Allah. In the dead of the night, the greatest sinner says, Ya Allah, Allah's qasam. Allah replies, Labbaik ya abdi, labbaik. I am present, O my slave. What is it that you want? Never lose hope. You will get tired of asking. He will not get tired of listening. The more you ask, the more closer you will go to Him. Insan is such, لَا تَسْأَلَنَّ بَنِي آدَمَ حَاجَةُ وَسَلِ الَّذِي أَبْوَابُهُ لَا يُغْلَقُ فَاللَّهُ يَغْضَبْ إِن تَرَتَّ سُؤَالَهُ وَبَنِي آدَمَ حِينَ يُسْأَلُ يَغْضَبُ. Do not ask insan of your needs. Ask the ones whose doors never ever close. Insan is such that the more you ask him, the more angry he becomes with you. Allah is such that when you stop asking him, he becomes angry with you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah will forgive all your sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He is most forgiving, most merciful. The greatest zulm, the greatest oppression that this insan made is when he failed to recognize who is Allah is. That Allah who has given him everything. And that Allah who is waiting for him. أُطْلُبْنِي. Search for me. تَجِدْنِي. You will find me. إِنْ وَجَدْتَنِي وَجَدْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. And if you have found me, you have found everything. وَإِنْ فُتَّنِي. And if you have lost me, if you have lost your Allah, what is meant by if you have lost your Allah? To live on the earth of Allah, walk on the land belonging to Allah, breathe the air given to you by Allah, eat the food given to you by Allah, utilize the countless bounties showered upon you by Allah, and still declare war on your Allah. Still to live this life without this motivation and without this concern that is my Allah pleased with me. And still, even if they are living this life like this, Allah Ta'ala does not cut off His bounties. He does not cut off His favors. He continues to shower it. Continues to give them chance. Continues to give them a rope. But naturally, there has to be a cut-off point. Hatta إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. It will continue like this until maut comes to them. At that time they will say, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. Oh my Allah, send me back now. They had lived on this earth, filtered this earth with the disobedience of Allah, filtered those around them with the disobedience of Allah, declared war with the Allah who had given them everything, blackened and darkened their souls, so that at the time of death, the angel comes down أيتها النفس الخبيثة كانت في الجسد الخبيث. اخرجي اخرجي او خبيث filthy soul, you lived in a filthy body, come out now and know that in front of you وابشري بحميم وغساق وآخر من شكله عذاب. Know that in front of you lies the boiling water of Jahannam. Know that in front of you lies غساق, the food of Jahannam, that thorny food which is made up of blood and pus. And know that in front of you lies the other types of azab. Ma'e Hamim, the boiling water of Jahannam. Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if one bucket of this water had to be brought into the world, it will cause the seven oceans of the world to start boiling. Min waraihi jahannam wa yusqa min ma'in sadid yatajarra'uhu wa la yakadu yusighu wa ya'tihi al-maut min kulli makan wa ma huwa bimayyit wa min waraihi adhabun ghalib. Around them will be Jahannam, and they will be brought water of blood and pus to drink. They will try to take it down, but it will not go down. Maut and the asbab of maut will come from every direction, but they will not die, and beyond that there will be worse azab. At that time they will say, Rabbi irji'un, O my Allah, send me back. Another place in the Quran, Allah describes the same thing. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ ناكسوا رؤوسهم عند ربهم ربنا أبصرنا وسمعنا فارجعنا نعمل صالحا إنا موقنون. Allah says, if only you could see that day when the mujrimeen, the sinners, will lower their heads in front of their Rabb. At that time, what will they say? ربنا وهو الله وهو رب أبصرنا. Today we have seen, today we have heard, today we have understood, send us back to the world. Conviction has now come. The question, my respected brothers, we have to ask ourselves, on that day they will say to Allah, we have seen, we have heard, we have understood. Does it mean that in this world they were blind? Does it mean that in this world they were deaf? Does it mean that in this world they had no intelligence, no understanding, that on that day they will say this? If you want to understand the reality of this, you have to understand, my respected brothers, that in this world, Allah Ta'ala has placed us for a short period of time. And in essence, Allah is testing us. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, to test you. Will we rely on our sight? Will we rely on our hearing? Will we rely on our understanding? Will we rely on that which we can see, that which is apparent, that which is in front of us? Or will we accept that which Anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam was sent by Allah to this world with? Normally, when an event of importance is to take place, they take out posters and they put on, stick on all the walls. The media starts announcing, on a certain date, so and so is coming. On a certain date, certain incident is to take place. The coming of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to this world was an event of such significance in the eyes of Allah, that from Adam alayhi salam to Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, approximately 124,000 Anbiya alayhi musallatu wa sallam were sent to this world. Each and every Nabi told of the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One by one they started announcing, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming. Throughout the ages, Anbiya would describe him. One such narration, Shay alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala sends wahi to him. Allama Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned this riwayat in Khasais al-Kubra. Shay alayhi salam says, Ya sama ansiti, wa ya ard isma'i, إن الله يريد أن يدبر أمرا ويقضي شأنا يريد أن ينفذه
ويريد أن يبعث نبيا من الأميين. Oh, the sky becomes silent. Oh, the earth, listen. Allah intends informing you of a decree which must come to in a maqam or in an expression of praise. You do not call someone illiterate. Ulama explained that ummi in relation to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not mean unlettered or illiterate. What it means is that that Nabi in whose ta'aleem, in whose education, in whose tarbiyat, in whose nurturing, there was no human agency. He was taught directly by Allah. True knowledge, true understanding, true hearing, true sight, came only with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In reality, my respected brothers, the entire mankind is deaf. The entire mankind is blind. The entire mankind has no understanding. One individual, one personality came with true sight, true hearing, true understanding. And that was Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any sight away from his sight, any hearing away from his hearing, any understanding away from what he taught is not sight, is not hearing, is not understanding. It can be Einstein, it can be Newton, it can be the intelligentsia of our time. Quran declares, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَعْنَا لِجَهَنَّمْ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. We have prepared for Jahannam many of the insan, many of the jinnat. They have hearts, they have minds, but they have not understood. They have eyes, but they cannot see. Allah says, that which they tell you is understanding, if it has shifted from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah's qasam, it is not understanding. That which they are seeing, they are not seeing. They have ears, but they have not heard. Sight away from his sight, hearing away from his hearing, understanding away from his understanding, is not sight, it is not hearing, it is not understanding, it can be anyone. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. They are like animals. بَلْهُمْ أَظَلْ. No, they are worse than animals. Insaniyat, being a human being, having the qualities of a human being, living like a human being, having the attributes of a human being, was Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whose life was a tafsir, a commentary of the Quran. Anything away from that is hayawaniyat, it is animalism, it is not insaniyat. They may call themselves cultured. They may profess to understand culture. They may dictate to you how you should live. But know and understand that this is iman. This is that test which Allah Ta'ala is putting each and every one of us through. That have we accepted what society has told us? Have we relied upon the knowledge around us? Or have we handed ourselves over to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam? To say we have iman is easy. To give lip service that we have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is easy. But Quran declares, فَلَا وَرَبِّكْ فَلَا وَرَبِّكْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, your Rabb takes qasam on himself. Allah takes qasam on himself. They do not have iman. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Until they do not make you and your teachings the decider in every affair. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتْ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And after making your teachings the decider in every affair, there is not one element of doubt in the heart. and they accept completely. Till that time, by the qasam of Allah, they do not have iman. To sit on this minbar and shout till I turn blue in the face that the solution to the problems facing humanity lie in the Mubarak teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make this declaration again and again, to chant it, to march for it, to take up flags with it, raise slogans with it, all that is easy. But my respected brothers, the tragedy and the travesty that is facing us today is that we ourselves are not convinced. Because if we were convinced, then our businesses would be run according to his teachings. We would dress according to his teachings. Our homes would be according to his teachings. We would educate our children according to his teachings. Our 24-hour daily life would be a living example of the teachings of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, Ya Aba Sufyan, Jitukum bi khayri dunya wa karamati al-akhirah. O Abu Sufyan, I have come with that practical way of life that will not only give you the success of akhirat, it will give you the honor of this world also. The ummah today has not understood. When we are being bombarded, when we are being mercilessly trampled upon, when the enemies have been given the upper hand over us, and when this ummah is being humiliated, is being rent apart, the respect and the honor and the dignity of its women is being snatched away in front of their eyes. At this critical juncture, we are still looking elsewhere for the solution to our problems. Still that conviction has not entered the heart that the solution lies in Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us understand, my respected brothers, that till Qiyamah, there is only one code of success. There is only one code of dignity. There is only one code of honor for this ummah. Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when he accepted the keys for Palestine without any battle, the Jews handed it over with this understanding that these are a people whom we cannot take on. They will walk over us, because they saw in them the qualities that were mentioned in their books, that if this nation has those qualities of obedience to its Nabi, then you will never stand a chance against them. At that time he said, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. We are a nation. Allah gave us respect. Allah gave us dignity. Allah gave us honor through Islam. Honor is not through weapons. Honor is not through government. Honor is not through educational institutions. Honor does not lie in technology. Honor lies in the decision of Allah. تُعِزُّ مَن تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَن تَشَاءُ. He will give honor to whom he wants, and he will disgrace whom he wants. According to his sunnah, according to his principles, وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا. Allah does not deviate from his sunnah. Allah does not deviate from his principles. We are a nation. Allah gave us izzah through Islam. إِذَا نَبْتَغِ الْعِزَّةِ بِغَيْرِ مَا عَزَّنَ اللَّهِ أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهِ. If we will look for respect, if we will look for honor, if we will look for recognition in anything else besides Islam, not lip service Islam, practical Islam, that not that Islam which we have adulterated and adulterated and adulterated. What they say, Islam is a contemporary religion. Islam has to keep up with the times. The others mustn't look down at us. We can amend Islam, interpret Islam to suit the people of our time. Under these false banners and under these false declarations, we have destroyed and adulterated true Islam till nothing of the original remains, or just a slight picture of the original remains. Like one of our elders, Maulana Yunus Saab, Rahmatullah Ali, he gives a humorous example. He says there was this person, his pants was too long. So he went to his wife and he said, you know what, my pants is too long, shorten it for me. She says, what do you think, I've got no other work to do. Go ask your mother to do it for you, why are you troubling me? So obviously in his home also it was the same as in our home, that I am the boss in my house and I have my wife's permission to say so. So quietly, he went to his mother and he told her that my pants is too long, shorten it for me. She says, what I got you married for? All your life I did it for you, now you got a wife, go and ask your wife to do it for you. So then he goes to his sister. She also gives the same reply like the mother. So dejected, defeated, he takes his pants, hangs it up, puts his lungi on and goes to sleep. Little while later, the wife's conscience pricks her. She goes and takes the pants down and cuts off a few inches. Then the mother's conscience pricks her. So she takes the pants down and cuts off a few more inches. Then the sister's conscience pricks her. She takes the pants down and cuts off a few more inches. So that when he wakes up, instead of long pants, now he's got short pants. In other words, nothing but a resemblance of the original remains. Quran has declared, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Are you going to follow and accept a portion of the book and reject the rest? What suits you of Islam, you will follow. What doesn't suit you, you will reject. Me, I make my 5 times namaz. Never mind, I maybe got a few bonds. A little bit interest I'm involved in, but namaz, 5 times a day I'm in the mosque. I'm a Muslim. I practice Islam properly. Now and then, next person will say, now and then, Fajr sometimes, you know, very early, can't make it, but the other namazes I'm there. So he's complacent. Then you'll get that person, alright, maybe I don't go to the masjid. Maybe I don't have big beard and show I'm a Muslim, but in my business everything is 100% halal. What? That circle, or that portion of deen that suits us, has been made the sum total of deen and we have rejected the rest. Allah declares that when the ummah will do this, a portion of the deen they will follow and a portion they will reject. فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah declares, it is my sunnah that when this will happen, then in this world we will disgrace you. In this world, we will bring you down at the feet of your enemies. They will walk over you. It is not their power. They have no power. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءِ كَمَثَلِ الْأَنْكَبُوتِ اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتًا وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْأَنْكَبُوتِ. What is their power? What is the might of their weaponry or their technology? Allah says, everything besides the power of Allah is like the web of the spider. The spider spun its web. وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْأَنْكَبُوتِ. The weakest home is the home of the spider. They are nothing and their forces are nothing. If La ilaha illallah with its reality is in your heart, Allah's qasam, they are nothing. The problem is not with them, the problem lies with us. Allah says, in this world we will disgrace you. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. And in the year after we will return you to a terrible punishment. Why we have made a mockery of deen? There was a so-called Islamic conference in America. The meals were served by young teenage girls wearing tight jeans and tight body-hugging t-shirts. And on the t-shirt were written the message that if you think that I am hot, then the fire of hell is hotter. In the name of Islam, because we have no perception of what is Islam. Aligarh University in India, a few years ago, there was a Swiss air hostess that had been invited to to address the girls of the university. So they were very, very carried away. Swiss air hostess. Tell them one pious woman is coming to address you, then that talk is boring. Swiss air hostess might tell us something we don't know. This constant seed that is in the heart, that in essence is destroying us, even in the talks of deen, I want to hear something I didn't hear before. Deen is not something new. Deen is what was introduced 1400 years ago. Until Qiyamah it will not change. That elan that we hear after every namaz, or when the jamaat is in the masjid, and there should be a program, sometimes we think to ourselves, can't they find something new to tell us? Same elan. Sometimes we get irritated, out of disrespect we wake up and start walking away. But if we just understand and comprehend what is being said, that my success and your success and the success of humanity in akhirat and in this world lies in one thing and one thing only, obey Allah in the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For this to come in our lives, an effort is required. We don't need long bayans. We haven't even understood that much, that one sentence that he is making, that one sentence that he is saying. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from 10 to 10 in Makkah, what he would say? Ya ayyuhan nas, kulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. Oh people, say la ilaha illallah and you will be successful. There was no long bayan. But the invitation was towards the conviction of the heart. Correct the conviction of the heart. And to bring the ummah onto this, everything was given. Their homes were emptied. Sahaba didn't need long, long bayan. One ayat comes down, infiru khifafu wa thiqala wajahidu bi amwalikum wa anfusikum fi sabilillah dhalikum khairul lakum in kuntum ta'lamun. Let's strive in the way of Allah. In ease and in adversity, you will have to strive in the way of Allah. Strive with your wealth and your lives to raise the deen of Allah on this earth. This is better for you if only you knew. From the time that verse came down, there was not a single occasion that the taqaza of deen was brought in front of a sahabi and he did not say labbaik to that taqaza. Regardless of his position, regardless of his circumstances, every sahabi, young, old, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, my Allah has ordered me to move in His path. No obstacle was allowed to come in front of Him. Only on one occasion, three Sahaba, Hilal bin Umayyah, Murara bin Rabi' and Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhum, they held back on one occasion, that also for the hikmat. Allah had kept some hikmat in that. So that the ummah till qiyamah will understand that the hifazat of this ummah and the protection of this ummah and the preservation of deen lies in this, that the ummah will have to move. That this is an ummah of harkat, this is an ummah of moving. Women will become widows, children will become orphans, in dunya qurbani will be given, Allah will use that qurbani and sacrifice to water the gardens of hidayat till qiyamah. They didn't need long, long bayan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion, he comes to the home of his beloved daughter Fatima and he knocks on the door. She asks, who is there? He says, it is your father. Wa ma'i Imran bin Hussein, and with me is Imran bin Hussein. With a weak voice, she replies and she says, oh my beloved father, you cannot enter. He asks why. She says, I do not have sufficient cloth. I don't have a chadar in my home to cover myself, and with you is Imran. In other words, with you is a strange person. I am unable to make parda, so therefore you cannot enter my home. He takes his chadar off his own back and passes it into the home. She covers herself and he enters the home of his daughter. And he says, "Oh my beloved daughter, what is your condition?" With tears in her eyes, she says, "Amradun wa asqamun wa awja'." Sickness, hunger, difficulties have come upon me. She says, "There is no milk for me to feed my children, the grandchildren of Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I am hungry." In a situation of need and want, still she was not prepared to allow her father to enter her presence because she did not have a cloth to cover herself. The purest of the pure, more purer heart than that, there was no other heart than that of Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And with him was a sahabi. It is our iman, the greatest ghaus, kutub, abdal, wali of Allah, cannot reach the rank of the dust of the shoes of a sahabi. Yet, in that circumstance, she still was not prepared to allow them to come till she could cover herself. And today, we enlightened Muslims of this 14th century of Islam, contemporary thinkers, till I don't introduce my friend to my wife, I have insulted my friend. And it is told, "By brother, what you are doing is wrong. Allah has ordained parda." Then what he says, "My heart is clean. I don't have bad intentions." Where is the question of cleanliness of heart? The Nabi of Allah and a sahabi, and his daughter at a time of need. Where was the question of cleanliness of heart? For women to walk openly and parade themselves is a mockery of the sacrifice that Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family underwent for this deen. Nevertheless, coming back to that incident, the announcement was made, Swiss air hostess is going to address us. The auditorium was packed with the girls of the university, all expecting to hear something new. When the curtains drop, the scene that meets their eyes causes a hush of an exclamation of shock and surprise to reverberate through the entire auditorium. For contrary to what they expected, they see a woman clad in parda from head to toe. She senses their surprise and she looks at them and she says one sentence. She says, "The West has spat. The West has spat. That way of life where they broke just one order of Allah. One order of Allah. That Allah has kept the place of the woman in the home. Allah has kept her dignity, her honor, her status in her haya, in her shame, in her modesty. And in adhering to that, Allah has kept her jannat." They broke just one order of Allah. They took the woman from the home, out of the home. In the name of equality, and in the name of keeping up with the times, and in the name of all sorts of slogans, gender equality and what it may be, they took the queen of the home, an object of respect and honor, and made her a commodity in the marketplace. This resulted in the collapse of the entire social structure of the West. Children lost their identity. The very system of marriage broke down. As a result of the insecurity in the homes, drugs became rampant, suicide rates soared up, broken homes, childless parents, teenage pregnancies, the list of the maladies that resulted is so long, there is no time to go into it. They became so frustrated with their own sickening and filthy and morally decrepit way of life that they themselves are tired. They are searching for a solution. They have vomited out their own values. The West has spat, and you people are licking up the spit of the West. Instead of showing them the light that you are blind and we have sight, you are deaf and we have hearing, you have no understanding and we have the understanding, instead of showing them the light, instead of showing them the direction, in the name of modernity, in the name of keeping up with society, in the name of equipping our women to stand up in the marketplace, in the name of financial security, we have murdered and slaughtered the Mubarak, pure, chaste, domestic life of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have exposed our women to society. He says they have spat, and you people are licking up their spit. جُعِلَ الظُّلُّ وَالصَّغَارُ عَلَىٰ مَنْ خَالَفَ أَمْرِي. Nabi Abbas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when my ummah will turn away from my way of life, Allah has kept zillat in this. Allah has kept humiliation in this. Allah has kept downtroddenness in this. The enemy will be given the upper hand over them. Understand, my respected brothers, Islam is not lip service. Islam is practically what Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us in his 24-hour daily life. One brother, his name was Abdul Aziz from America. He spent 4 months in the path of Allah. He changed his whole life. Now he returns back home and he knocks on the door. His mother opens the door, and the sight that meets her eyes, she gets the shock of her life. She's full of fear. 6-foot-tall Afro-American brother with a big amama and turban, miswak sticking out of his pocket, long beard, with all the negative propaganda, Islamic fundamentalist, terrorist, gorilla, whatever it may be. She looks at that and she thinks some terrorist came to attack her. He sees the naked fear on her face and he realizes what has happened. So he says, mother, it is your son Abdul Aziz, don't you recognize me? Then only she is appeased. On this he said a very beautiful thing. He said, 35 years of my life I lived with my mother. For 4 months, I adopted a different way of life. And in just 4 months, my own mother couldn't recognize me. He says, when our whole lives are lived away from the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what pleased him displeases us. What displeased him pleases us. His values are not our values. What he was motivated by, we are not motivated by. What he finished himself for, we are finishing ourselves for something else. He says, when we have drifted so far away from his way of life, in 4 months, my own mother couldn't recognize me. When our whole lives are gone away, how are we ever going to recognize his impression when it is brought to us in the qabr, and the question is asked that, who is this person? There, my respected brothers, it is not going to be the tongue that is going to answer. There, it is the heart that is going to answer. That cassette and that tape which has music on it, when you press the play button on the tape recorder, you do not expect qiraat to come out. It will play music. It will not play qiraat. What we gave our life for, what effort we made, that will be what will answer in the qabr what the reality of the heart is. Tabligh and Dawat is not the name of a jamaat or a group, my respected brothers. It is a cry, it is a plea that I am in need, you are in need, this whole ummah is in need to link ourselves once again to Allah, to come back to Allah, to understand that we have been sent to raise the name of Allah on this earth and to please our Allah. And how we are going to please Allah? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That call is made today, and we are surprised. We are wondering what is going on, what they are talking about. Inna deena bada'a ghariban. Inna deena bada'a ghariban. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 1400 years ago, he said, when my deen began, it was strange. When my deen began, it was strange. Wasaya'udu kama bada'a. and once again it will become strange. When it began that time, they said, who is this person? أَجْعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَاهُ وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. Is he saying that all these gods are one god? What strange thing he is talking? Is he saying that our forefathers were liars? He is splitting up families. All sorts of accusations they made. إِنَّ الدِّينَ بَدَى غَرِيبًا. When this deen began, it was strange. وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَى. Once again, it will become strange. What, leave the wife and children? Which hadith this comes in? Which ayat of the Quran says you must leave your wife and children? Where it comes? Obviously, it doesn't come in the Cape Argus. It doesn't come in the Times of America or in Newsweek. Where it comes, we are not prepared to look. We are looking elsewhere. Why? Because the nafs is not ready to accept. One sahabi, the call for hijrat from Makkah to Medina was made. His wife persuaded him that leave it now. There's no hurry, you can go later. There's other things to see to. Worry about the shop, worry about the business. Worry about other things. He delayed his hijrat in the path of Allah by 2 years or so, on the insistence of his wife. Now when he makes hijrat, to his shock and his consternation, Badr has taken place, Uhud has taken place. Those who accepted Islam with him on their qurbani and sacrifice have gone far ahead of him. Because their honor was not dictated by how much wealth you have. Status was not how much your possessions are. Their 14-year-old youngster will stand on his feet, stand on his toes. O Nabi of Allah, accept me to go in the path of Allah. Father and son will be arguing with each other. The father will say, I am your father. You are my son, you have to listen to me. So the son will say, O father, in everything else I am prepared to listen to you. But in this case, when it comes to striving in the path of Allah and gaining Jannat, in this I am not prepared to listen. I will go. Father will say, no, you have to stay behind. So they say, okay, let's draw lots. When they draw lots, the lot of the son comes. And his chance to go. So the father says, listen, I am your father. I am your father, you have to listen to me. You have to give precedence to me. He says, oh my father, I am prepared to give precedence to you in everything, but this is my jannat, in this I can't give you precedence. Youngster, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you are too young to go in the path of Allah. He returns back home crying. What is he crying for? Our youth today, what are they crying for? I haven't got enough money to go to the cinema. My papa didn't let me go to the shop, that is why I am crying. What were they crying for? They were crying that they were not given the opportunity to go and die in the path of Allah. Young, old, Abdullah bin Amr bin Jamu, cripple, raises his hands, Allahumma la taruddani ila ahli. O Allah, do not return me back to my home. O Allah, do not return me back to my home. I want to walk with this crippled foot of mine in Jannah. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, 95 years of age, striving in the path of Allah. He says to his companions, he didn't say, I am old, I sit at home. He says to his companions, that when I die, do not bury me, carry my corpse to the last point and bury me there. So that tomorrow on the day of judgment, I will say to Allah, that oh my Allah, when I was alive, I strove in your path, and when I was dead, my corpse strove in your path.